This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9. To
the sound of the twinkling piano in the background for fool's sake. Welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. How are you, Phil? You well?
I'm fine, and I'm satisfied that that pianist has now been heard. Gets cut off every week, poor man.
Hello, Gordon.
Oh, hello, Chris. How are you? I don't mind the pianist either. Yes, he's quite clever, isn't he? Yes, he's tickling the ivories.
Oh, if that's what is tickling, yes. We've got to be careful around here, don't we?
Be careful what you say. Might be heard.
Might be construed the wrong way.
Oh, never.
Never.
Language can be interpreted so many ways. What did in Alice in Wonderland, someone said to someone else, words mean what I mean them to mean.
That's right, yes. And I played a song earlier this morning called Words, and it wasn't the Bee Gees one.
All right.
And computers do what you say, not what you mean.
Yes.
Which is often quite a problem.
So who was the artist for yours? Was it Trump Incorporated?
No, it wasn't Trump Incorporated. Now, that would be an April Fool's joke.
Well, wasn't it interesting? Oh, sorry. Welcome to Being There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with Gordon, Phil and Chris. We're fired up. We're going away. Yes, it's so many things have happened in all our lives in the last couple of days. Resetting the clocks, that's really helped.
Yes, well, it's nice to get up with a little bit of light in the morning now, well, rather than pitch darkness when you do get up.
You're one of these early birds. I only get up when the milky's well and truly been gone.
Truly? God, you're missing half the day.
Oh, no, but I'm there at midnight watching the stars light up and everything.
Oh, dear.
There'd be so many stars in your street. Yes. They're called street lights.
Yes, that's
right. Thank you.
Yes.
Been There, Done That is Joy's history program, and we talk about people and events in history that affect us to this very day. Most of the articles that we try and refer to are gay-related. There seems to be a lot of references in current events that are world-shattering in our world, but boring to other people, but they are events that we will refer to in 10 years' time, say, wow, that was a turning point, wasn't it?
Well, if they can remember them. If they can remember them.
Yeah.
It's like the 60s. If you can remember it, you weren't there.
Now, that is an interesting point, yes.
I was a preteen in the 60s. I'm allowed to remember.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yes.
Of course, that reference to you, if you can remember them, means that you weren't a pot smoker.
That's right. Or something else, yes, yes.
Substances.
Substances.
No, I think pot was the only substance that we had.
No.
Well, in the late 60s,
they were doing all sorts of weird things.
They were doing LSDs.
Yeah.
Timothy Leary and co.
Yes, that's right. And there was a lot of needle jabbing.
Not in here and not in sedate little Melbourne town.
Oh, don't you believe it. There was enough of it going on here too.
Not in my school.
You're talking from...
Not from personal experience.
But from knowledge
from
of
knowledge.
The time.
Yes, I will.
Oh, isn't it nice to have people who we can refer to put us on the straight and narrow?
Yes.
What
yes.
was Noah like?
Noah? I don't know. He's a good builder.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did one ship.
Did one ship, yeah. That was enough.
That's all he had to do.
But I want to know how we came to be with the gays and lesbians on board the Ark. They're probably... You know, you choose two people, you know. Anyhow, that's getting off the subject.
Yeah,
well, we referred to that last week.
Did you?
That we need straight people to make more gay people.
That's exactly right, yes.
They're the only ones who can do it.
That's right, yeah.
Events that have affected our lives this week just gone have been end of daylight saving. Singular, not day savings.
No, there's only a saving. You only save one hour.
There's only one daylight.
There's one daylight in 1 hour. Yeah. And but it's surprising how that 1 hour makes a difference. I find it about 3 days before I'm completely acclimatised to it, because I very seldom look at clocks, because I know where I am, what I'm doing at certain times of the day, you know.
Yeah. Well, coinciding with that was the fact that it was the beginning of April, and we had April Fool's Day, but that was on the Saturday.
Yeah, so nothing was done.
And didn't it go flat?
It was as flat as a pancake.
Oh. I thought people were going to come out and tell me that President Trump was an April Fool's joke, none of that really happened.
No, it's not just restricted to that would be restricting it to April Fool's Day. No. All year.
Unfortunately, yes. But we've got some...
No.
We've got some ding-a-ling April Fools in our own ruling classes as well. Don't let it worry you.
Yes.
There's one specifically, man, I could name it. I won't. I might be up for libel.
But also, this particular time of the year is when we are recommended to change the batteries in our battery-powered smoke alarms.
Mm. And isn't it amazing how the people that have got the smoke alarms in their houses, but they don't have them on, they don't have batteries in them. And you see here of these houses that get burnt down, and they sort of say, they had a fire alarm, they had a smoke alarm, but they didn't put batteries in it, you know. And you think, what the hell wouldn't you?
Precisely.
You know, it's a safety precaution, and you should have the... It should be outside your bedroom door, which is the main one.
Yep.
Put so that if anything goes on, you
while you're asleep,
you do get woken up, and it's a pretty loud bloody squeal, isn't it? Oh God!
You should hear in an apartment building. You've got your own smoke detector, but you have the fire system, and outside everybody's door is a loud speaker, and it says "fire, evacuate" quite clearly. And last night, the people down the road, number 18. Were visited by two very loud fire trucks, which was quite an exciting thing in the street. Their alarm had obviously gone off at the station.
Yes.
And they have to dispatch two trucks.
And that's going to cost them a lot of money.
Quite a few thousand dollars.
Quite a few thousand dollars when you
unless it can be proven to be entirely accidental.
If it was a fault, if there was a fault in the system or something rather. But anyway. So that's daylight saving April Fool's Day. And
that is. But also, we've had the equinox.
That was on the 22nd of March. Yes.
And there are already signs of the changing of seasons. We've had our first crisp mornings. We're having a reprise week of lovely maximums in the mid-20s at the moment.
And if you notice, the sunrise has gone north.
Well, of course, it gradually creeps around north all the way.
But it's actually quite quick. Because only a couple of months ago, the sun was rising on the right-hand side of the building across the street, and now it's clearly on the left-hand side, which would be however many angles that is.
Well,
it's good radio.
Good radio holding your hands up to show an angle.
We'll call it 20-something degrees.
But it's not only it's autumn here, but it's a very late cyclone season in Queensland, wasn't it? Because normally the cyclones come around January, February, isn't it?
Well, there is a broader selection. Sydney and the tropics seem to have their wet season between Christmas and Easter. To that extent, if that's a broad 3 or 4 months, then that cyclone season, it's not just related to 1 month.
No.
So it's still fitting in.
It did seem to be quite a late cyclone, though, and it's proven very devastating with the people. Well, lives have been lost. I think there's about 4 people have died, and the stuff in that had to be thrown out of shops and businesses and everything like that. You feel sorry for them, you know, because it's what do you do?
Well, many of them haven't actually got insurance because they are on a known floodplain and they can't even buy insurance.
No.
So they just save their pennies and that's high and dry in the bank.
But you've got to remember that insurance companies never back a loser. That's how they make all their money. We have some listeners that were living in Mackay, and we had a message from them during GPS program on Sunday morning, and we were a bit worried about them because of all the winds and what have you, and they sent a message down to say that they only had some tree damage, which was easily cleared, and they were fine. So Mackay missed it, so that was very good. But other places, Airy Beach and all the rest of it, and it must have been horrific.
And Debbie moved south, but then the consequences are catching up to Rocky. A week later, all the floodwaters are coming down.
But there was an article in the paper that said that because of the climate change, the cyclones come as low as the Gold Coast.
Yeah, well, just as well they've got a few tall buildings because I think their toes are going to get wet.
But the best way to avoid damage from climate change is to deny it.
Oh, is that it?
It doesn't happen, okay. So why worry?
So you stick your head in the sand and don't worry.
That's right, while the sand is there.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get washed away.
Well, in that case, you hope that you're going to be safe and sound. But we've got capital cities.
I think that was a segue.
They're going to sing to us. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to contact us, as a few people have done,
you're free to email us at beenthere@joy.org.au.
And if she's listening, a big cheerio to Nina and Cupcake.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, she's one of our ardent listeners.
As is Jade.
And Jade.
As is Peter.
Yeah, we've got a few.
We've got a few regulars,
like us, yes. We're building up a base.
Now, just to let you know, we do have an encore version of this particular show, but it's moving from its regular spot on Monday mornings at 0 hour to
Wednesday morning.
At five. So
how nice at five.
At five.
There are those crank skis back again.
Yes. And Julia does our podcasting for us as well, and she is a whiz with the scissors and tape, putting it all back together again, taking out the sponsorship announcements and things like that, and making it easy to download as a short little file that you can play anywhere, anytime on your smartphone.
So when does the first Wednesday morning one start?
Next Wednesday.
What date would it be?
Well, that'll be like tomorrow morning. Yeah, this show will be tomorrow morning.
Okay.
At five. So
it gets, that's right. Yes,
so it gets replayed quick time. It's not a week ahead like it used to be.
We've just gone out of daylight saving, and I'm having trouble keeping up with what day and afternoon it is. I told you it takes me three days to get used to it.
What you can do is use our podcasts.
That's right.
You can listen to them whenever you want. You can go to our website, go to Been There, Done That, and you'll see our most recent published podcast.
Okay.
Or you can go through iTunes.
Okay. I was going to put the radio on at 5 o'clock and listen.
Well, see, you can do that. A lot of people can't.
Because I'm awake at 5 o'clock.
Yes, a lot of people are not.
I think I've still got a good load of timber to get through before I wake up with all my snoring and soaring.
I just recently heard that there was a 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, it's only
I thought it was in the afternoon.
But it's in the grid.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the grid.
We're on the grid.
Yes. Do we have grid girls?
Yes, I think so.
No, we don't.
There's grid boys?
Do we have
highly paid drivers running over our grid?
No, I don't know.
I'm thinking of the wrong race.
Yes, I think you are. Yes, I think.
I'm thinking of Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah, they're all Prix. Yes.
I won't go there.
Now, what was the next little thing we were going to be chatting about?
We're going to be chatting about a couple of major film stars of an era past who didn't have such an easy run as some of the current cinema actors do, or definitely the TV actors and actresses do, representing gay character or representing themselves or ourselves. It's interesting that TV, we have lots of gay heroes and heroines, gay storylines. The films in the cinema are a little bit slower in the picking up of this.
Yeah.
And in the pre-era, late last century, doesn't that sound a long time ago?
There were
actors who were known to be gay or bisexual, and they had reputations that were rather outrageous sometimes.
But there was one
in those times, but they survived.
Yeah, but there was one of those actors who didn't care because he was such a great actor that nobody was going to do anything about it.
Well, that's right. I'll come and sit on you. But what about current TV and current movies?
Well, there was an article, I read a couple of gay magazines from America, and there was a big article one day about how the TV actors are out and proud. And the TV in America is very, there's whole channels devoted to out and proud programs and all the rest of it. But they were complaining that the movies have never caught up because the studios will not put up with it, basically.
Is that because the marketers of the cinema are actually thinking of world markets rather than a local market or just the US market, if it's been US TV that you're referring to?
But Chris, Philip, you were sort of saying that TV is something that you're in your house, so it's sort of secondary rather than going out.
It's not your main career. It's like something you might work on between projects.
Yeah.
So if you're a movie star, you can't play risky characters. You've got to be safe.
But see, in the old days, of course, movie actors were sort of looked down upon if they went and did a part on a TV series or a TV show.
It was almost unheard of.
It was almost unheard of. And so they created their own ensemble of actors who would be on the TV only.
The industry now is in such a mess that those lines are very, very blurred. In the sort of the cable TV industry has productions from major Hollywood names.
Yes.
Like Nicole Kidman at the moment.
Yeah.
She's doing a show for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And she's quite proud to be on television.
Yes.
Because people actually pay
she's probably
to see it.
It's paid not free to air TV. To do it, yes.
Well, she's producing, so there's no way she's losing.
Yeah.
But, you're much more likely to see gay characters on TV.
But
like your Will and Grace, who are coming back for 10 episodes, and Modern Family, and it's no longer a gimmick a treat.
That's right, yeah. But gays and lesbians, or the gay community, whether they're gay, trans, or whatever, they are better represented on television than they are in the movies. The movies still will not get with it. But the funny part about it is that the last movie that won the Best Actor Award this year, Moonlight, was about a young gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it, wasn't it? It was from growing up to be a little boy into a man. And
his struggle and his internalization of not being part of the pack, of being bullied, of surviving that.
Mm.
And the end of the film shows him actually reaching a place in his life where, for that particular moment, he was safe and sound.
Safe and sound, and where he had to be.
And where he had to be, and where he was comfortable.
And it's the most beautiful scene in the whole bloody movie.
Give it
I'm
out.
Not going to give it out, but oh boy, it's a beauty. It really is.
Yeah.
I was nearly in tears when
I saw that. Well, it is known as a Kleenex movie. Yeah.
The very end of it is, anyhow. Yeah.
But you're much safer being a gay character than a lesbian character. Because there was a survey of American TV, and if you were a lesbian character on a TV show, you had a 55% chance of your character being killed.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, I read an article about that too, and they were saying that if you're a lesbian character, you're like more chance of being killed than a gay man.
Don't buy a house.
Yes.
And that's because they can't resolve it in a way that fits the storyline, because I mean, I don't want to stereotype the lesbians that I know, but they do seem to end up being together and living comfortably and quietly in their own little world, and they just fade away and they don't become an interesting storyline any further because they've found their place. They just sink into suburbia.
That's
like
right,
we all would love to be able to do.
But there were two men who were absolutely, they were gay guys, but they really, well, one was classified as gay or bisexual or whatever, but they made quite a very good living, although the one of them didn't.
Are we going to give them names?
All right. No, we're not giving names
just
yet.
We're not going to give that because I'm just looking at the clock and we've run out of our little time. We'll have to ask our listener to come back after our piece of music from Sam Sparrow, because he's talking about happiness, or I think it's
happiness. Yes, it is happiness.
Happiness to a sparrow would be a perch.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Or a bucket full of brilliant.
Stay tuned. You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Down for a while.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. We're going to pick up our little storyline where we didn't get to before the music and sponsorship.
Well, the two people we were going to talk about were one American and one Brit. And the American one created such a furore when he first appeared on stage at the age of 23 in a play called Streetcar Named Desire that he had a 30-minute standing ovation at the end of the show. And we're talking about Marlon Brando.
The younger generation would know Marlon Brando from?
Probably from The Simpsons. After his career, when he was on his private island,
oh, right.
They were going to ship a carton full of Big Macs to him, <That's> which would have been his stable.
Because he retired from the movie scene after The Godfather and a couple of other movies, in which The Godfather, it was the mafia and all their toings and froings, and someone decided as a threat to put a horse's head in someone's bed. And it was a gruesomely type thing to have seen on the screen. And I remember when I saw it, all the screams from the ladies in the audience.
Because when he was young, he was the most drop-dead gorgeous-looking guy you've ever seen. He had such magnificent beauty about him.
He knew it.
But the best part about it was that when he was a schoolboy, he rescued a skinny kid that was being taunted by the other kids, and he fought the other blokes off because he was pretty good, solid thick. And he put his arm around the young bloke and said, "I'm your new best friend." And they stayed friends and lovers till the young man died.
Now, but more than that, you talk about best friends forever, BFF. Mm. That particular fellow by the name of Wally was buried, and he was cremated. And Marlon Brando had his ashes
kept with him, and they were mixed together when Marlon died as well, and then they were spread in Tahiti together,
Island where the Big Macs were headed for.
That's right, and then he also and also in America where they buried where they spread his ashes as well. Yes. They were together. He was he must have been the love of Marlon Brando's life.
Well, isn't that interesting that having been picked up in a bullying situation and then protected or not protected, because it gave Wally the confidence that Marlon had, because he had the stature and the presence, whereas Wally didn't, but he shielded under wing.
But Wally was the only one that could tell Marlon Brando off.
Yeah.
Wally could tell Marlon if he was doing something wrong, and Marlon listened to him. He's the only person that Marlon ever listened to. But Marlon was actually bisexual. He had many lovers in Hollywood, including men and women.
Oh, yeah.
The string is too long to mention.
I think a lot of people boasted that, you know, I've reached the heights. Yes. I've been bedded by Marlon. Didn't matter who it was that said it. You know, it was a badge of honour. Scouts got a badge on there.
But at the end, he was pretty obese and a pretty sick man as well, of course.
Well, as Phil said, you know, he'd had all the glamour and glory of Hollywood and the financial reward.
If you've got all the money you could ever spend, you've had your career. Well, you said that, two careers, didn't he?
Yes, basically.
Later life with The Godfather. Yep. Why not just go sit on an island and just pig out?
Well,
I don't think he ever cared what people thought of him.
No.
But he certainly cared less.
Yeah. Well, he made it to 80, so there you go.
Right.
Even despite that and his other voracious habits.
But the other man was, the British man was Dirk Bogarde, Sir Dirk Bogarde, I might add.
He was.
Who was a great film actor, and he played the very first homosexual person on the movies in a film called The Victim. Black and white, in black and white, beautifully photographed, a lovely story. And it was the way he went. But after he played that role, his career went downwards.
Well, he was typecast.
Can I just go back to that role? Was that on a beach setting?
No, he was a solicitor in London.
Okay, well,
you are correct, Phil. But his British film history career was already typecast, and he was only sort of in those
He was a fabulous-looking guy.
But Visconti picked him up for Death in Venice. And what was the story of that?
The love of a young man. Who knew what he wanted.
The unrequited love.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, the young man knew what he was doing. He just knew, but Dirk Bogarde that was the one that brought him back. He did play lots of things, but he was multi-talented. He was a great author. He was a decorator. He was a painter, an artist, art restorer. He was a very talented man. But his but after he did Victim, it was very hard to give him another job. People didn't think that
too
he was
good.
People just thought, yes, that he was playing himself sort of thing, you know. But it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. If you ever get hold of it, have a look at it. Super stuff.
And Death in Venice is another highly recommended movie affected me greatly.
Thomas Mann wrote the book.
And it wasn't only the storyline or the actors. It also was the music that was involved.
Yeah.
Mahler's music. And I know it's a classical artist, but it was just the mood music of the time. And it
fitted.
It did fit, that's for sure.
Yes, it was one of Mahler's symphonies or something, rather. They used one of the movements from it or something, yeah. Great stuff.
And he died at the age of 72, I believe.
Yep, and his legacy still lives on, of course, but a wonderful, wonderful man, apparently. And another, do you want to talk about the young man?
Well, no.
No, all right.
We'll save that up.
Okay.
Because we've got a little piece of music to play from someone who was also multi-talented.
Yes.
We know this person as a singer who had, well, as Phil was going to say, a one-hit wonder, but I said, no.
He reminded me of the other hit.
Yeah, she was a
two-hit wonder. Yes.
And we're talking about Janice Ian.
Multi-talented lady because she went on to study and became a almost a professor in some parts, wasn't she?
Well, she became an author, and she wrote science fiction.
Yes, but also...
Which seems completely out of character, based on her two songs.
Well, the first song was at 17, and it was the story in music, with her words, of reaching that age and... It's a turning point in a girl's life,
it would seem. Yes, yeah.
They really
starting to think
of things in a womanly way.
But it was an ugly duckling song.
Yes.
Because she learned the truth at 17 that love was meant for beauty queens, she was not.
He knows the words.
Yeah. And I'm not reading them.
No one knows. That's what I'm saying.
It's almost a depressing song.
Yeah, but
it's a beautiful song.
It's the story of the way you feel at that age, I would say. You know, what were you like when you were 17?
Oh, at 17, you knew everything, for one thing.
Yes, that's right. Hire a teenager while I know everything.
You were digital.
Yeah.
You were one extreme or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved you or I hated you. There's no time for in between.
Well.
So, yeah, in the song, you know, she's concluding that, well, you know, I'm never going to be a beauty queen, so I'll never have love.
Yes, yeah.
Which
is
an extreme response.
Yep.
But it's life as was experienced and expected at that time.
Mm.
So whether she did or she didn't find love, well, she married a fellow.
Mm.
She actually moved on from that because it wasn't satisfactory for her.
Well,
and she met another person, Patricia Snyder, and Janice Ian came out as lesbian. And they have set up family together and they've got stepkids and all the rest of it. And they're happily ever after situation.
Happy ever after. Yeah, they're still together.
They found their correct roles and places. That's why, you know, a lot of people think that and suggest that our families that we're born with are our biological families, but our gay connections are our logical family. So we can have two family streams.
That's true too.
But the song that we're going to hear from Janice Ian is a little bit on the long side, but it is Fly Too High. But stay tuned. There's more. We've got bits more of gossip after this.
Oh, have we? Of
course. This is a much happier song than the one we referred to earlier.
So have another cigarette and help me to forget what I came. Run too fast, fly too high. Run too fast, fly too high.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Can I just refer to one of the community service announcements we just had?
Yes, please.
They mentioned when you see rowers on the water, and they're suggesting that you join up.
Yeah.
When I see rowers on the water, I don't think about rowing at all. I think about something else.
They got big oars.
Well, I don't know how to answer that. And how you refer to the women in the life, I think, is quite rude.
They can catch crabs, of course.
Yes, they can too.
None of this is where I was going, but I don't mind.
Now, isn't that interesting with language?
Yes, that's
catching
words.
Catching
crabs, yes.
That is when you're rowing and you, in fact, don't dip the oar deeply enough into the...
To get the traction, you just skim across the top and that's catching a crab.
Yes.
I thought it was rock pools at Torquay, but anyway.
No.
But that's where I catch crabs.
It's the sort of skimming the water, hoping to pick up a crab in the net.
So you don't need a special comb to get
them
out?
No.
They're the other sort of crabs.
All you need is a big oar.
Oh, dear.
Now, where were we?
Well, we were thanking the listener for listening and persevering with us on Been There, Done That with Phil, Gordon and Chris.
I guess while we're thanking, we could also apologise. But keep listening.
Yeah.
You can't catch insanity.
Can't you?
No, but it helps if you got a bit.
Yeah. They've got a bit in America, haven't they?
Oh, starting at the top.
Someone who unfortunately died on the 8th of April 1990, I know that's a long time ago now, but the genesis of the disaster that swallowed him up began in the early 1980s. And we're talking about AIDS.
And we're also talking
about... Oh, the HIV virus, human immune deficiency virus, HIV there. Because young Ryan White contracted from a faulty batch of blood, because he was haemophiliac, he contracted HIV AIDS in the early times when that was not able to be treated. And he died on the 8th of April 1990 in sort of terrible circumstances. He was ostracized by the regular community.
And the school he was at.
Because at that stage, HIV/AIDS was only restricted to the gay community. And Ryan wasn't gay, and he wasn't, therefore, allowed to be a victim.
He was also in Indiana, which would have been a great centre of ignorance on the topic.
Oh.
If you lived in a big city like San Francisco or New York,
you would have known a lot about
the problem because you were living it daily.
Yep.
And this poor kid was thrown in the deep end through no fault of his own. Yep. This was while I was living over there. It was not daily news, but the way he was treated by his neighbours, essentially. And
yeah, they moved town, didn't they?
Yeah, but he was Typhoon Mary.
Yes.
And, of course, there was no cure.
No, you mean Typhoid Mary, not Typhoon.
Typhoon, sorry about that. But, yeah, he was ostracised and mistreated to maximum levels through ignorance and fear.
Yeah.
It's understandable, but so wrong.
Yes, they had to move Hound and everything.
But he wasn't the only person who ended up being in that particular boat.
No, probably not. He was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And this is the point.
And, of course, that alerted people to the fact that the blood supplies for haemophiliacs had to be super clean for them.
Yes.
And this is where there's new testing regimes. Although it seems to be still very, very difficult for men of the gay community to give blood, even though they can fracture it down into various parts. The blood services are still taking extreme care.
It was a huge funeral when he did die. The church where he lived was absolutely jam-packed. It was standing room only. And Elton John was there. And he's the young lad that Elton John took to his heart. He's still in contact with Ryan White's mother. And Elton John, from then on, started a campaign to raise money and awareness.
Well, Elton John's AIDS charity is world famous.
Oh, God, yes, and it's raised millions of dollars
but
for
Ryan's situation is what upset Elton John so much that he actually did something about it.
That's right. He said something's got to be done. So he and Elizabeth Taylor joined forces, and a lot of those huge profile people who did a lot of good work because the government did bugger all.
Yeah,
but they did what Lady Di did. They actually went and touched him.
That's right.
Physically touched the boy, saying, "You can't catch it
just from
this
touching
way.
People." Yeah, well,
and
that's
that
what
was a very powerful message. I know from being there.
But yes, so dear Ryan White, and if you ever want to read, if you read the Elton John biography, there's whole chapters donated to Ryan White.
So it's sad that human behaviour cannot be regulated. At least it's identified these days that ignorance is something that's got to be counteracted. Whereas the first guys that ever did themselves harm by obeying the little people in their heads that we now talk of as OCD, behavioural problem, they actually suffered at their own hands. Back in 1947, in late March, these couple of fellows who'd been recluses and living in their own little house had been hoarders, as you would normally refer to them, but then they were compulsive hoarders, and they were also twisted by these feelings in their head that people were out to get them.
They needed security.
They did need security, yes. Gordon. Yes, you're right.
And so they set up little traps all over the house while they were hoarding.
Yeah.
Which was not a very good idea.
I think the term counterproductive comes to mind.
Certainly counterproductive, that's for sure.
But the problem was these two brothers, they had disconnected from the community, excommunicated themselves, and they were living in their own little base world, mind world, brain world, whatever you like to call it, and they feared the outside world.
What happened was that the one brother became quite ill, and the other brother went into the kitchen to try to get him some food, and on his way in, he tripped one of the safety things, the security things, and brought down a whole pile of papers on top of himself, basically crushed himself to death, and the other brother died of starvation. And when the police came in, it took them about 30 hours just to get into the house. It was pretty horrific.
My little hoarding problem isn't a problem when compared to that.
I've got stacks of artwork, but they're all piled up on a shelf, so they can't hurt me. And they're out in the garage. They're not inside the house.
I prevented hoarding starting by moving into a small apartment.
That's a good way to go.
Because with the house, I had two spare bedrooms, and the invitation was always there.
Mm.
The silly things you do, like wondering if you left the gas on, or the things that scare me is remembering things, oh, did I do that, or whatever. I think, is that the start of OCD? Am I going to turn into that guy who turns the like locks the door nine times every time he comes in and out?
Yeah. Well, what I find that I do is, to counteract that, is I have routines, and I always put my car keys down in the same spot. I always put my mobile phone when I'm in at home next to the house phone, because that's where the phones live, sort of thing.
Well, I'm organized like that. That to me is just common sense and logic, though.
Yeah. But
that means you can pick up the thing that you want when you want it. You know exactly where it is. You just go and pick it up.
It has one place to be, and it's there.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I have my house key and my car key go on a little coin dish on the kitchen bench. That's there, and the phone's beside it, and you just put things so that you know where they're going to be when you want to pick them up.
I don't do it that way, because the begurgler knows that that's where it's going to be, in that little bowl just inside the front door, or in your case, in the kitchen.
Hmm.
Thank you.
But no, but if I'm out and the burglar comes, he hasn't got the key, has he? Because I've got it with me.
My burglar would have to climb up the external wall.
That's Spider-Man. Step one. And step two is pass the guard on the door.
Little Eddie. He's so friendly, he would show them where all the good stuff was and help them out the door.
No, he wouldn't. He'd lick him to death.
Well, he would, yes.
That's it. Nina, does Cupcake do that? Has Cupcake given up chewing all the bedding? Let us know, please. We'd love to hear. That's about it for this particular show.
Again.
Where does the time disappear to?
It goes very quickly.
You're having fun.
Yes, something like that. Okay, so what are we going to go out with this music, or what are we doing?
Well, we will go out with Erasure, Love You to the Sky.
All right.
Well, it wouldn't be if it was a dark cloud a day and dumping water all over you, wouldn't Love You to the Sky.
No, not really.
But anyway, we'll catch up with you next week.
Yep.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Same time.
And if you need to, catch up with our other shows, previous shows, on our podcast. They're there. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
I wanna be near you, baby.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.